You're listening to Band Geek with Richie Castellano on the Riotcast Network. Riotcast.com.
This is Band Geek episode 35 with Jennifer Candy. Jennifer is a dear friend of Jarrett's, and they were in Second City together back when Jarrett was living in Chicago. Currently, Jennifer hosts a show called Couch Candy, where she gets to interview comedy greats like Jim Belushi and Eugene Levy and others, and she's going to tell us all about that. Jennifer is also the daughter of the legend John Candy, so we get to hear a lot of cool stories about that. So before we get started, let's take care of some business. Please continue to support the show by going to our Amazon link. That's www.riotcast.com/bandgeek. I know everybody shops at Amazon. Before you do that, go to our banner, the Amazon link I just mentioned, and a small percentage of your purchase goes to supporting the show, and it helps us keep going. So we really appreciate you doing that. And also continue to go leave comments and ratings on our show on iTunes. That's a big help, and it helps us bring in new people. So we love that. Okay, that's it. Enjoy the show. This over here on the couch is Anne-Marie. This is my wife.
Hi. Hi, Anne-Marie.
And Andy, here, pop your head in the frame.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
How are you? Hi.
That's Andy.
It is Andy. There you are. Okay.
Andy plays 1,000 instruments, and he's, we're gonna take advantage of him later in the best way possible.
That's awesome. Oh, fabulous.
Usually I host the show, but you and Jarrett are buds, so I'm going to step out of the frame here like this.
Okay.
And Jared's going to take it.
She also knows, she knows me as the Muffin Man and Muff.
I do know him as the Muffin Man.
So, feel free.
In my phone, you are Muffin.
You're in my phone as Ballet Parking, so that's helpful.
No, can I just tell you that made me laugh so hard when you wrote that in my birthday card.
That's how I roll.
I also found, because I was looking through the DVDs, I found the DVD of our Level 5 Conservatory, the show.
I haven't watched that in a while. We'll get to that. We're jumping all over the place.
All right, I know.
Go ahead.
You got it.
I have ADD.
No, go ahead.
Take it away, Muff.
It's your show. You start it.
Hi, I'm Richie Castellano.
You start, yeah.
Welcome to Band Geek. Take it away, Muff.
Well, with Richie as his co-host, me. on the couch today we have Richie's lovely wife, Anne-Marie Naccio.
I get to sit on the couch. This is so nice.
I'm sorry, Anne-Marie Castellano. I screwed that up. I can't host the show. It's too much pressure.
Okay, you're out.
and as always, the lovely Andy Ascolese.
I'm not on the couch.
Yay, not on the couch.
Andy's on his stool.
On the most uncomfortable drum throw.
Actually, Brandy's not here this week, so I'm letting you host because I have to laugh at all the jokes. Because when Brandy's here, she laughs at my jokes. So I'm going to laugh at your jokes. I'll sit on the stairs.
Go sit on the steps.
And I'll laugh really loud.
Making jokes, we're all right.
Oh, man.
Ooh, sick burn.
All right.
So this week, we have a little bit of a change of pace, I guess. I'm not going to say it's special because I'm not you. It's not a very special show.
You hear that? You're not special.
I'm not special. Okay, how do I exit FaceTime?
There's a big red hang-up button, I'm sure.
I know.
We're doing a little change of pace. We have a very good friend of mine who is a fan of music. And we're a little... Well, it's also on a little bit of the geekier side of Band Geek. Would you say your dad is comedy royalty? I would.
I've been told that he is comedy royalty. I would agree. I'm going to say yes and.
Canadian royalty at the very least.
Yes.
Along with the moose and ketchup flavored chips.
Yes.
Is he the premier of comedy?
He is the premier of comedy.
I think you were supposed to laugh at that.
He makes Regina look like Saskatoon.
Oh, yeah.
We have the lovely and talented Jennifer Candy.
Woo! Hello. Hi, guys. Thank you.
Who, if you haven't guessed by the last name, is daughter of the late, great John Candy.
Yay!
Yay!
Jen and I met in Chicago.
Well, where is she?
Yep. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. She is Skyping from the
where
West Coast.
Where am I? I am outside your house. Yeah.
She is Skyping from where it is warm.
We've had so much luck with Skype in the past that we decided to just do it three times.
Jen is Skyping us from someplace warm.
From 85 today and sunny.
Oh, God.
Somewhere that's sorry. Green. I don't even know what the color green looks like anymore. I only know Mountain Dew green. No. That's the only green I know anymore.
Oh, that's healthy and delicious.
But Jen and I became buds when I was living in Chicago. We worked together at Second City.
Yep.
In the night staff. And then we also completely randomly wound up in the same training class.
Yep, the conservatory class.
And unless you remember, I don't. I don't remember us actually meeting.
This is so weird. I don't either. I just associate Chicago and knowing you and always being friends with you. And that's it. Like, I don't remember there being a moment being like, oh, hey, I don't know who you are.
This is very interesting.
I just always remember. I don't remember
meeting you. Neither
do I. I feel like
this
is like the setup for an Are You Afraid of the Dark? Like, I don't ever remember meeting you.
And later we realized that we never met each other. Twilight Zone.
Picture you were born 60 years ago.
For people who don't know, because I didn't know until you explained it to me, Second City is in Chicago.
Correct.
And why does one go to Second City? And what do you do there?
Well, you used the word before. You said premier. But Second City is the premier institution for sketch comedy and improv, I think, I'd say in the country.
So institution, is it like a school? Do you go there to study?
It started off as a theater, they would have resident casts performing on their main stage, and then it slowly expanded to they'd had a second stage, and then they started teaching classes. And so it's a majority of their profits come from the teaching and classes and all that. So one goes to study improv at the best place ever, and that's Second City.
So it's kind of like at the core, it's a performing group.
It's a performing group that's constantly changes. Like my dad was there, Bill Murray came out of there, Dan Aykroyd came out of there. The list goes on and on. Mike Myers, Colbert, just you name it, they've probably came out of Second City.
Right.
Or at least dabbled in it for a small bit. But at the heart of it, it is it's a sketch comedy show. And then it's expanded to educational for students, adults, children. They actually do touring companies. They've done touring companies that actually help with learning disabilities and people who have anxiety with speaking in front of like large groups of people. They do like improv games with them. So they're kind of they're branching out and touching all different areas, which is really cool.
So you said children. What do they do with children?
What they do? They do improv games. So you do a lot of kind of like freeze and tag and yes and just they get to use their imagination in a creative environment. So Second City in Hollywood here does a lot of children's classes on the weekends, and then for a while in Chicago they did the Big Bad Wolf? What was that called?
The Big Bad Wolf versus Lord Underwear Face Von Stinker.
Yes.
And it was like,
thank you.
And the thing I remember the most about that, because I would stage manage a couple of those shows, is the difference, because Second City does a review. It's a sketch comedy review. It changes like every 10 months to 16 months.
And I should also say that a lot of it's political satire.
Correct.
That's where they stem from.
But the main difference between the adult shows and the kid shows is that the third act of every show is always an improv set. So they would play improv games, do improv scenes, take a suggestion from the audience. So the actors would say, like, can I have a suggestion of a place? And they'd be like, Bill's asshole!
And then or the common dildo!
Dildo! And then on Saturday mornings, we'd be like, can we have a location that would fit on the stage? And the kids would go, Candy Mountain!
So, were you guys in classes together at Second City?
Yes.
What
they call the conservatory program, which is the main program there to learn. And hopefully, in one day, once you graduate from that program, get hired by Second City to do either a touring company or something else.
But which neither of us did.
Correct. It's now 10 years later, and you have a regular gig with them?
Well, yeah, but it's by my own doing, which is great that I've got a show going with them right now. But I auditioned for the touring company, I think, twice. And both times they were like, oh, well, maybe next time. I was like, okay, great. And then we did our level 5 show, and I was moving back to L.A., and everyone had come to me, you know, you could do this for a living. I'm like, you know what?
What's a level 5 show? Is it like a black belt of comedy?
Yes.
So the that's exactly what it is. The conservatory is the highest level of training that you can get at Second City. There's 5 levels. So you start off at 1 and you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So it doesn't necessarily take 5 years. It's just 5 semesters, which took us 2 years?
It's like a year and a half to 2 years, I think.
Here's an odd question. Do you get graded? Like, do you get a grade? Like, you know, hilarious.
Thank
you're not
God.
Funny. You bomb. You like? Is that like? What is this?
Well, you did have to pass. There was wasn't
did
there
they do like juries or something?
No, you had to audition to get in, and then you also had to pass level 2.
Yes. Well, I know you had to take classes, which they called IFA, which I have no idea what that stands for.
Improv.
But you had
for
to
actors.
Take those classes. Oh, thank you. I graduated college. So you had to do that, and then you had to audition. So we got into that audition. But I don't remember there ever being like a pass-fail. I would imagine if you really sucked, they would have that conversation with you and, you know, set you aside and be like, you know what? You might want to consider
a
something
career
else.
In something else.
Accounting.
Yeah. I was just going to say, do you like numbers? Banking.
Well, I don't know if you had this experience. When I went to music school, first day of classes, maybe second day, we had orientation, and then everybody in the music department sat down with Professor Kuhlman, who is...
Cool man.
He was cool.
Kuhlman.
Jazz, upright
sounds
bass player.
Sounds like a spice.
Grammy winner, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah, he's a cool man.
Yeah. He's really... And one of my favorite teachers.
Upright
but
bass is
he
really
said,
cool.
He said to all of us, there was about maybe 60 kids sitting there in a big classroom, and he said, listen, if there's anything else you can do besides music, go do it now.
Yeah.
I'll respect you a lot. He goes, if you get up and leave right now because you have another skill, like if there's another skill like that you can go make money doing, go do it now. And he goes, I will respect you, and I won't judge you poorly for leaving right now, because if you can, by all means, please go. For the rest of you, okay. He said, you're stuck with music. It's very, very difficult.
Buckle up and sit down. You know, yeah.
Exactly.
No, I've heard that a lot from teachers, not necessarily to me, but that's advice they always give up and coming actors that are like, you know, if they have any life questions, like, what would you say to an actor? They're all like, if you could do something else, do it.
While you're taking these classes, are you guys performing the whole time? Like, does every class perform in front of an audience?
You do, actually. Mm-hmm. We did.
Yeah.
We did those Skybox shows. Skybox was a theater there, and like you would do. Was it every Saturday? Like 8 o'clock shows?
It was either Saturday or Sunday.
No, they
or
were Monday night shows, weren't they?
Oh, never mind.
Yes. They were Monday night shows because the theater is dark on Monday, so we were able to use the stage.
How drunk or high were you guys that you don't remember anything from this period?
Oh my God, it was a long time ago.
This was circa 2004.
Oh, this is when you were spending that cheese.
I was spending that cheese trying to keep up with this one.
Ooh, okay. Hey, let's explore this topic.
I spend a lot of cheese.
I did not buy $150 sunglasses on my own accord.
Yeah, I'm sure she really had to push you to do that.
Well, you've since made a habit of glasses, it. And so do you. the secret comes out. Just so you know, though, if you divide how long you've had those sunglasses
by the price, yeah,
by how much you spent,
they're still too expensive.
I know.
But
I still have them.
Are you just acting or are you writing also?
Do you want to answer that?
We were writing as well. Oh, I don't know. I'm just going to, I'm answering it.
Well, you're the guest, so you can talk over him. I have a mute button on his microphone.
There you go.
So you're writing. Did you create any characters that you want to talk about? Let me guess. You were a big Jewish guy.
No, never actually.
That was, we had Aaron for that, who wasn't, he was a tiny Jewish guy.
He was a tiny Jewish guy.
Hold on, my brother's calling. I have to mute this phone call.
There's a more important phone call coming in.
I didn't expect my brother to do that. Sorry.
Your brother, by the way, who was in the band Chato Ghetto. Look them up online.
Yeah, Chato Ghetto. Yes.
When you're in the conservatory program, you're learning skills of improv, and then when you get to level 3, if I remember correctly, you start writing a show that you perform when you finish level 5.
Right.
So you start writing stuff, you start trying stuff out, you do those weekly shows, and then once you graduate level 5, you do an 8-week run in one of the main theaters there with 2 other classes that run at the same time. So you're working on characters, you're working on, different kinds of scenes, and working the way that the main stage works.
Well, let's start with Jen here. I mean, I'm a musician, but I'm a big fan of comedy, and I listen to a lot of interviews with comedians and performers in the comedy world, and it seems like a lot of them have a favorite character or sketch that they wrote while they were in Second City that sort of stuck with them. So, Jen, what do you think the best thing or your favorite sketch or character that you created? What do you think that is?
There are so many in that show. I'm going to do it in 3 because I was really good at doing blackouts, which essentially is a 10-second scene. You come in, you do the joke, and then you're out. So it's not very long, and they're very funny. And the ballet part, it's called Ballet Parking, was the one. And it was based off of a cartoon artist, and I'm blanking on his name right now, but it was essentially a bunch of parking meters lined up, and then a bunch of little, ducks in tutus behind it, and they were all doing ballet. And it was entitled, the photo was entitled Ballet Parking. So I wanted to turn that into a sketch. So I came out. Jarrett, were you the valet guy?
No, I was a ballerina.
Or you were a ballerina. Yes. So I come out to asking the guy dressed up like a valet. I said, "Where's the valet? Was it valet parking?"
You said the valet parking, and he said, "Right parking. Over there."
And then you guys all come out in giant tutus dancing. And then he goes, "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant ballet parking." And it was, and we were out. And it was really bad, but we got one of those aws.
That's the only kind of comedy we go for.
I feel, though, if with the sketch, with my sketches, if I get an aw, I did well. And that's kind of. And then what was the other one that we did with the pirates? Did we do the Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yes. There was
or the Caribbean.
Well, that was the joke. It was like
we were
at Disney World, and it's like, and if you look over there, you'll see the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. And one of the people was like, "Don't you mean Caribbean?" And it's like, "No, those are the Pirates of the Caribbean." And then it was just a bunch of pirates with Lays and daiquiris going like, "Arr, we're having a party," which also got like a
And then I thought that was really good. And then the character that I played was the. That weird hockey sketch one where I had that weird voice and I talk like this, and I was asking a guy out, and that was it. And that's all I did.
But
people seem to like it.
That one I like too, because the point of that is that the only way you could talk to the guy that you liked was to get him in the penalty box. So you had to punch him on the ice so that you guys could chat in the penalty box.
Yep. And so I wanted to ask him out, and so I had to keep injuring him. But we were on the same team, and he couldn't understand why I kept hitting him. And then it came out eventually that I just wanted to ask him out on a date. But he's too scared, so he had to say yes.
So when you're performing at a Second City show, is the audience comprised of people up the street or other classmates or stuff like that? Or is it like real, like hardcore comedy Nazis?
It's a combination of, it's like your family, and friends and employees and maybe the occasional person off the street, but I don't think we got too many of those. But I felt like our shows were relatively packed.
It's like, it's three classes, so they do that on purpose. So there's a lot of people to fill it, because it's hard working into an empty room.
Right, but I mean, like, my point being is that's kind of a really tough crowd because, you know, from listening to all these interviews with comedians, when especially people do stand-up, they say the hardest thing to do is when you're doing a show and all other comedians are in the audience because they don't laugh at anything. And then it's the same thing for, like, when you're playing a music convention or something like that. You see, or especially a place with a lot of good guitar players in the audience, and you see a bunch of angry-looking dudes with their arms folded just looking at you, like, sideways, like, you know. So I can totally relate to that. What about you, Jarrett? Like, what were your favorite creations or, you know, from that time?
There was one scene that I did with this girl, Zan. It was, like, the scene that opened our show. And it was me and a girl, and we were, it's, Second City prides itself on the relationship scenes where it's just like two people, you know, on a stage, and just, it's very slow and very dry. I honestly don't remember the premise. We were just like, we were talking about like our relationship and where it was going. Oh, and I said I wanted to break up with her because I was too fat for her. And I kept making all these analogies. It was like, you're like the number one, and I'm like the number zero, and I look like a Q when I'm naked, and then we kept doing these flash forwards and flashbacks to like our relationship, and we would do these, like, there were power ballads that would play over it. It was interesting.
How do you pull something like that off on a stage? Because, like, it's funny. In a way, I'm sure everybody who listens is familiar with Family Guy, and they do those flash forwards all the time. Mm-hmm. And for them, they're animating it. You know what I mean? It's very easy for them to convey an idea. How do you do that on a live stage? You know what I mean?
Do you do Wayne's World?
It's lighting. So
it's,
I mean,
okay. It's a lot of lighting. Yeah, it's our stage manager that's the magic.
Theater.
And it's also the when you're seeing a live show, keep in mind we're talking about the training show. The main stage Second City shows sell out every single night, every day of the year. The only day that they're closed is Christmas.
Wow.
Thanksgiving Eve people are there, Christmas Eve people are there, New Year's Eve, they have special shows.
Do you have now, are there other technical people, like non-performers? Are there crew guys who go there to train also, or is there a staff they hire?
I want to say that I think people kind of start working there in hopes that they can find their niche if they want to go in the technical aspect of it. Because that's how I noticed a lot of the guys.
Oh, so people will go do the comedy classes, and then they'll say, you know what, I kind of like being behind the scenes better, and they'll stick around and eventually get a job. Like,
yeah.
Because they're set.
Or they'll wait staff.
Yeah, I mean, there's set design and there's lighting design, but there's a stage manager and a musical director. So the stage manager is obviously in the booth, and then the musical director is playing everything. Playing piano, playing guitar, whatever they can play, they play. Generally, it's in recent years, they use a lot of like canned music cues and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, are they the ones triggering the music
cues? Yeah, they're triggering music cues and stuff like that, but there's no scene changes. There's scene changes, but there's no like set changes. There's no real costume changes. It's all...
What you bring on the stage is what you're using, and that's it.
There are occasional props and costumes, but
And if you're doing a good enough job as an actor, you actually are helping the audience envision. Like if you're in a park, they should be selling it, and you actually should be able to see that park while they're acting.
Right. This is really fascinating to me because I always knew that Jarrett went to this place for a few years, but like, and I had a vague understanding. I had a vague understanding, but now that both of you are here explaining it and sort of like filling in the blanks for each other with the stories, I'm getting like a much clearer picture. You just fucked around for like 3 years, right? You didn't really do it. No, I'm kidding.
Pretty much, yeah.
And then there are also other theaters in Chicago. I mean, there was the Annoyance and Improv Olympics. So, like, as you're training, you might be taking classes at three different places and doing different shows on Saturday nights. And
really?
And there were theaters in town where they would just be like, we want this sketch group there, and you could go put it together a group of people and do shows on Wednesday nights for no money.
Now, did it...
No money.
Do you feel that... I always do this. I say, Jarrett, you're going to do the interview, and then I jack it from you.
No, it's fine.
Do you want to...
No, please, because I know her very well, and you don't, so the questions you don't know. I know,
yeah. Do you Jed, do you find that people treated you differently because of your dad when you went there?
I'm
asking the hard-hitting questions here. I just turned this into a real interview.
She didn't get hired for the touring company twice, so no.
So I know, right? So clearly not. I think it took a lot of people. I didn't go around telling people. Obviously, certain people knew. But I think it's interesting to see the longer I was there, and then people kind of all of a sudden go, I just realized who you were. And I'm like, oh, okay. And they're like, yeah, I didn't know for like 6 months, or I didn't know for a year. And I'm like, really? Okay. And that's fine. But I don't know. I don't think I got treated. I still got the same paycheck at Second City box office and no special Christmas bonus. But it's the experience. And you know that going into Second City, you're not there to make millions. You're there to for the experience and the knowledge and to make friends there.
Now, how? I mean, obviously, if you're going to a place where, you know, comedians are training, a lot of people are going to be huge fans, you know what I mean, of John Candy. So how do you react when someone, especially one of your peers, comes up to you and is like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like, do you embrace it? Or are you like, listen, I'm trying to do my own thing? Or like...
No, I embrace it. I love it. I think it's great because it's nice to see people happy about it, and I like hearing their stories and sharing and all that stuff. And heck, I lived in the same apartment on the same street, Crilly Court, which is like a block and a half away from Second City. So that's where I ended up living, and that's where my dad lived when he was out in Chicago doing Second City. And it came to the point where my apartment building was on the Second City walking tour, a stop. So it used to be, it was like, and this is where, you know, John Candy used to live, who happens to be, you know, it's like Jennifer Candy now, who's working in the box office, is also living here. Which is kind of scary because strangers know where I live, but also slightly endearing. But I like it. I did have, though, it's interesting because you say people who talk to you about how they love it, love my dad. I had one person in the box office essentially to say that thought my dad was the worst person out of SCTV ever. Yeah. No, it was really funny.
Wait, why the fuck would they tell you that? That's my question. Like
they didn't know who I was. They were I was just selling them tickets.
No, I do remember that now.
Do you remember this?
Somebody was just randomly,
I had that happen to me once, slightly differently, but please tell your story before I take the mic away from
everybody. Mine's short and sweet, but it was one of those things where it was the middle of the day, and someone had come up to buy tickets for the weekend, and there's photos all around Second City of, like, you know, Joe Flaherty and Dave Thomas, and I can't remember who they were saying was their favorite. And he just kept going, oh, I think so-and-so is amazing, so-and-so is amazing. You know who I thought really kind of was like, eh? And he was like, John Candy, just, whatever. Oh. And he also then, and I remember my friend who was sitting next to me, he's like, oh, really? Okay. And I was just kind of smiling, going, yeah, okay, that's, you know, whatever. And said something so insensitive. It was like, well, isn't he dead or something like what? That. And I went, yeah. And my friend next to me, he leans over to my window and he says, are you going to buy a ticket or not? If not, get the hell out of here. And so the guy was like, oh, okay, whatever. So he buys the ticket. But I just was so stunned by the insensitivity of just this guy. Like, not everyone has to love my dad. And people are going to be vocal because it's not like I have a sign on my chest at work that says, hey, guess who I am? But it's also tact with people. It's like, come on, like, I don't know. It was really funny. I love telling that story.
I mean, that's crazy.
I forgot about that.
You know, my sister always says, you got to be careful what you say in public. You know what I mean? You don't know.
Right?
You don't know who knows who. Like, you got to really be careful. But something like that happened. I was hanging out somewhere, and my dad has a music store. And my father is a really cool guy. We had him on the podcast. He's a larger-than-life character. And generally well liked in the community because he really bends over backwards to help people out, especially local local musicians. You know, he's always going above and beyond and doing everything he can to help people. So I think I was at a studio one day, and someone mentioned my dad's music store, and this one guy, he goes, "Oh, I got ripped off there." And now where you were like, let me just wait for this guy to go away. I go,
yep.
What the fuck do you mean? And I got like right in the guy's face. Like the Italian came right out of me.
Now, yeah.
A lot of the times I'm the reserved Jewish type, but the rest of the time the Italian comes right out of me. I'm like, what are you talking about? What happened to you?
No, if somebody says something that unfounded, I'm gonna build on that.
Oh yeah, I went
and be an attack dog.
And basically, right. And basically, long story short, the guy was totally full of shit and just talking out of his ass. But
Jesus. Well, people do that a lot.
I called him on it. Like I called him on it. I didn't say that. Like, that's my dad's place. I just said, what do you mean? What happened? And I made him tell me the story. And I'm like, that didn't happen. You're full of shit. He's like, well, you know. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Anyway.
Yeah. So. No, people are stupid sometimes. And I used to have a bumper sticker on my car that says, I hate stupid people.
But I mean, that's probably an isolated incident. You got to have a lot of people coming up to you telling you how much they love what your dad did.
Oh yeah, I get I get people coming up all the time, and I also another funny story, and slightly awkward at the same time. I was shopping in a department store, and I was paying for something, and I handed them my credit card, and she looked at me, and she's like, "Oh," she goes, "any relation?" And I said, "Oh yes, yeah, you know." And she's like, "Oh, that's so great, you know. Can I ask, like, you know, how are you related?" And I was like, "Oh, that was my father." Oh, she's like, "Oh my God, that's amazing." So when's he coming out with his next movie?
Oh.
And I was like, oh, and in my mind, I went straight to, oh crap, I have to tell her he's been gone for like 10 years now. And so I did. And I said, you know, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, he passed away a long time ago.
Oh my God.
She's like, really? And I said, yeah. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm going, it's okay. Don't have to know I felt bad for her. Like, when I tell people that story, they're like, oh my God, how did you react? Were you like mortified? I go, no, because her day probably was worse than mine, or felt more, you know, awkward.
I'm shopping at the department store. She's working at the department store.
Look, I think you missed an opportunity there, because you should have just made up some crazy shit that he was going to do next.
I know, I should have.
And her, right? her day would have gone on, and you would have had a nice little laugh about it.
I know. Actually, he is doing Spaceballs 2.
Yeah. Oh, good segue. So, Spaceballs 2, is that happening or is that bullshit?
I have no idea, but I hope it can happen. I don't
can
know
you call
how
up Mel Brooks for us?
Happen.
We'll wait.
I know. Hold on. Let me. My phone is crashed, so I don't have. I'll have to voicemail.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wanna dovetail off of that for a second too, though, because since we're talking about your dad, when you were younger, because I know obviously your dad passed away when you were at a younger age.
14.
And were you aware, because I know I've seen pictures of you on sets, I've obviously, you know, heard stories, I've met people that worked with your dad and heard stories and stuff like that. Were you, How aware were you when you were younger, like, of what your dad did and what was happening? Like, that he was in movies and that, like, the guy on screen is the guy on my in my house.
I know. I was pretty aware of it. I have no idea when I became aware of it. I think closer to when he passed, it was pretty, things were pretty surreal, like, because he was doing so many movies. He owned a football team, for God's sakes, and that was a whole different level of, like, wow, this is our life right now. Or we look back and we go, huh, that was an interesting time, as we're, you know, what we're doing now.
He had a Statue of Liberty in the backyard.
We still have it. Oh, I can't. Oh, I was going to say I could pan to it for you, but it's dark and it's outside and I have to go downstairs and I don't feel like moving. But we did have a statue. We have a paper mache Statue of Liberty, even though we were Canadian, in our backyard.
What's your favorite piece of memorabilia that you own?
My trunk. The trunk from Trains, Planes, and Automobiles. It's actually in my home. We set it up as like a entryway table. So if Jarrett remembers my coffee table in my apartment, the one with the like 100 drawers in it, yes, that would hold all my movies. So I have that, and then I have the trunk on top, and then my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, as a wedding gift, had a piece of glass made to go on top of it, and inscribed in it was "Love is not a big enough word," and then Del Griffith. So it kind of, It's an amazing piece. Like, I think when we got that gift of the piece of glass, it just kind of makes it a whole complete set, which is really cool. So
that's awesome.
We keep stuff in there. So yeah, so when people come in and they kind of are looking around and then they're like, wait, is that what I think it is? Or they read the top and they're like, huh, Del Griffith. Huh, okay. Wait, is this? And I'm like, yep. And
that's
there
awesome.
And there were, I think, yeah, and there's six. I think there were six of them. This was the one that got thrown off the car when they went through the buses. Mm. So this one's a little dinged up, so the hinges don't quite shut. But the Nancy Hughes, John Hughes's wife, still has. I think she has maybe one or two of them. But when I saw hers, theirs are like in pristine condition because I think they got the like the show one. But they also have one as well.
Yours is
I don't
cooler.
I don't know.
Yours is cooler. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, ours was the stunt one. So we're excited.
Can I tell you my favorite thing that's in her home?
What? This better be safe for podcasting.
I can't say anything inappropriate. Her husband is gigantic.
Ah.
I know, 6'6".
Wow.
I love the trunk, but you also have a bronzed milk bone.
Oh, yes, I do.
From Spaceballs.
Yep.
That Mel gave your dad.
Could you text Mel and ask him when Spaceballs 2 is coming out? No, I'm kidding.
I know, right?
That was a callback. That was a callback. Oh, no, there it is. Sorry.
There we go. Good callback.
I'm teaching him.
I know. I think, either, was it, did Mel, I have to look at the inscription again. But
or maybe the prop person gave it to him as like a wrap
gift.
No,
I think it was my dad. I think my dad gave those as wrap gifts to everyone because it said I think it's inscribed. Isn't it sad? It's in my house and I can't remember what. Oh wait, does my mom have one here? I can read it right now. Hold on, we're gonna walk for a second.
Oh, look at this.
This is, I'm in the office right now. Well, one of the, and this is like our little memorabilia station of stuff and awards. And I don't have the milk bone here because I think I took it. But I think it's from my dad. Like, here's, sorry, you guys are, no one's going to really see this, but this is the, oh, wait, where's the camera?
There it is.
Summer rental.
Oh.
So it says, oh God, how do I'm horrible at
No, it's good. It says summer rental 1985.
Summer rental.
Nice.
There. So that was given. I have no idea who. Oh, wait, here. Oh, my dad, Jack, love Aubrey. So I think that was one of the little girls in the movie that gave that to my dad, which I thought was kind of cool. And then we had a giant regatta. My dad gave everyone like a giant regatta trophy, which was kind of cool.
And then you also gave me two things from your dad. One was from your dad, and then one was from John Hughes's estate.
Yes. Yes, those cards.
The cards.
I'm traveling for a second, so hold on. Like, is this? We're gonna do a walking tour for a second, but continue talking.
There's a lot of things in your mom's old house because she did move recently. But, the thing that you gave me was a photocopy of a card that your dad used to leave on people's windshields. That says.
Oh yes, I still have that.
It says, thank you for taking two spots. I had to park three blocks away, like you inconsiderate bastard or something like that.
Yep.
And then the last time I visited you, I saw something on your wall, which was a Planes, Trains poster, and it had something framed with it. And it was, a Del Griffith, business card. It says Del Griffith, shower curtain ring division, Shermer, Illinois.
Yep.
And you were like, I was like, oh, who framed that for you? And you said, Brian, who's your husband, said, oh.
Yep.
You said, oh, he framed that for like our 1 year anniversary. And you were like, I never gave you one of those. And I was like, no. And then you went to your nightstand and pulled out a box of them.
I know. I remember that. I was like,
but your mom,
I have, hold on.
Your mom also had a bunch of, like, animation cells, because your dad did voiceover work, too, right?
Yep. We had a wall of, like, animation stuff. Hold on, sorry, guys. My computer's dying, and I want to plug it in so that I can talk more. Yay, power! We had a wall of animations, because my dad did Rescuers Down Under, where he played the albatross. So we had a lot of Disney cells, and he collected Disney cells and stuff like that.
I loved that movie, man.
Isn't that a great movie?
I loved it.
So let me.
Hold on.
Wait.
Yep. Keep talking. I'm pulling out that card for you that you were talking about.
Oh, what, the parking one?
I have. Yeah. Hold on.
I'll take a picture of it for the.
I have one too. Posterity. I can always send it to you.
Does he have it? Okay.
No, I don't. I may have.
Oh wait. Okay. Here. Here's one. Community. This is different. This is a Johnny LaRue. I can also scan these and send these to you. It says Johnny LaRue Productions, which was my dad's character on SCTV. It says Johnny LaRue Productions has attended all rights to John Candy's autograph. Please direct inquiries to Johnny LaRue's Productions, Second City Drive, Mellonville, Ontario. And then, thank you for taking two parking spots.
There it is. I had to park two blocks away, you stupid, inconsiderate bastard.
Hold that up again. Take a picture of that.
Wait, there you go.
Hold on.
I have one of those.
You put that on people's cars?
I photocopied it. I put it on a couple people's cars.
And then this one says, my card, sir, I am somewhat of a bullshitter myself, but occasionally I like to listen to a professional. Please carry on. Now, I have no idea. I found these in his wallet. I have no idea what, like, if he actually really did do them, but I think they're hysterical. So I keep them for myself.
So we could talk about amazing stories all day, but I want to know what you're up to, because Jarrett told me you're back at Second City working on something new. So can you talk about that?
I am working at Second City Hollywood right now. I started a show in January called Couch Candy, which is an interview talk show type host where I host and I interview alumni of Second City and SCTV. So it's a 45-minute show, and my first guest I had was Dave Thomas.
Wow.
And then Richie thinks that's the Wendy's guy.
Yeah,
it's
Richie wrote a song about the guy from Wendy's.
It's not that Dave Thomas.
Oh, really?
I know who Dave Thomas is.
I know.
Bob and Doug McKenzie one.
Yeah, not you're thinking R. Dave Thomas. His name is first. Yeah,
no,
R.
The Canadian Dave Thomas.
Yes.
So I interviewed him, and then my second guest was Ann Ryerson, who is alumni of Second City. She was in Caddyshack. She's actually the character, if you watch that movie again, she's the one whose Baby Ruth gets knocked into the pool.
Okay.
So she's responsible for that. And she's been in everything like Troop Beverly Hills and Minority Report and a slew of other things. So it was awesome to have her. And then I just did a show last night where I interviewed Jim Belushi.
Really?
And that was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Oh, cool. So
that was an awesome show.
And do you post these, or are they live only?
At the moment, they're live only. We are recording them, and we're in works of trying to figure out where exactly they're going to get put up. I know that the Second City Network is going to be releasing snippets of the show, and then I'm just trying to figure out what venue the full 45-minute edited version is going to go on. So people will eventually see them.
Now, is there like a place, do you have a website or a Twitter or something that people can go find out about that?
Yeah, you can actually go to secondcity.com and under Hollywood, and then all the information there. Also, it's Twitter is at Couch Candy Live, and then there is a Facebook page called Couch Candy. So you could just go there and like that page, because that would be awesome, because I think I only have like 300 likes, but I have more friends than that, but no one seems to be liking it. Even though everyone says they like it, but they're like, oh, you have a page? I'm like, oh, come on, seriously? But here I'm going to reach for the card that I have too. But if any of your listeners are in Hollywood, the show it runs every other Wednesday, which is kind of hard to keep track of. But the next one is going to be on February 25th at 8:00, and I'll be interviewing Eugene Levy.
Excited
about that one. So Eugene Levy is going to be great. And then come March, I am interviewing Joe Flaherty on the 11th. And then Andrew Alexander, who's the owner of Second City, on the 25th.
That's great.
Yeah. Now, that's the flyer.
Ah.
Wait, hold on. Couch Candy.
And that's at their theater, right?
That's at their theater. Now, the Second City here in Hollywood is a training center, so it's not necessarily your typical Second City experience. It still is, but just on a slightly smaller scale. The theater there only sits about 65 people, whereas the main stage seats
325, 350 on a Saturday.
325?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So your crowds are a little bit different. And it's mostly geared for training centers. So a lot of performances that go up there are student run shows. But because a lot of alumni from Second City Chicago have all moved out to Los Angeles, they have a place to put on some of their shows and perform, and which is a lot of fun. And it's close to, you know, IO, which is Improv Olympic, and UCB. So it's just another place for people to come see good improv.
That's awesome.
Also,
yeah.
Talk about just for a second. I mean, you've done a lot of television work. You've done a lot of producing as well. I wanted you to touch on that.
Oh, right. The whole purpose I went up to Chicago was I wanted to get into producing, and then realized that is really stressful. So I went back into thinking about acting. But when I moved back to LA, it's hard to get the acting thing just rolling. So I ended up producing for my friend's production company, which was called Big Fantastic, which was my friend Chris McCaleb, who I had gone to college with, and a couple of his friends, Doug Cheney, Ryan Weiss, and Chris Hample. And we produced a lot of, they were a web series, but the original one that we did, which was Sam Has 7 Friends, it was, I'm going to botch this, it was like 51-minute episodes, and it was a murder mystery, so every week, 1 minute was released on, you get to figure out, you know, Sam Has 7 Friends, and it was a murder mystery. And we did Sam Has 7 Friends and Prom Queen, which was then produced by Michael Eisner, helped us out with that one. So that was kind of interesting and a fun experience to work with him on that. And then I kind of dwindled off of the producing thing because I was acting a little bit more. I started doing background work and stand-in work for According to Jim. So Jim got me work over there, and then I got little bit parts here and there, and through all the connections you just kind of go where you're needed and keep working there. So I've kind of, but then again, now that I'm doing this show, I'm producing essentially this show. This is my creation, and I'm booking the guests, I'm putting all the clips together, and I think that's the way I like to do it is if I am going to produce. And I always said that you got to start off as a producer because then you can put yourself in stuff. So this is essentially what I'm doing, but for the theater.
Does
that answer your question?
That does answer my question. And you've been working, pretty steadily with Disney, was it Liv and Maddie or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Liv and Maddie. I started off, with my connections from, according to Jim, I worked on Wizards of Waverly Place for a while. And I went from there. Then I jumped over to Lab Rats.
Emery loved that show.
Did you love?
No.
No, I teach a lot of young girls and I know.
Who love it, right?
No, I've heard about Wizards of Waverly Place. Totally. Is that, yeah. Was it one of those girls, like Demi Lovato or something on that? Or was that one
Demi Lovato is Jessie, which is another show. Selena Gomez Selena was Wizards Gomez of Waverly Place.
That song you like.
Where she...
I love you like a love song, babe. That's you, Rich.
Whatever.
It's all you. Oh, yep. Don't even pretend.
It is
you
a catchy about song. Katy Perry it for is a catchy years. Song.
It's a great song.
And then Disney DX was Lab Rats, and now I'm over at Liv and Maddie, where I play I did a couple voiceovers, and I play a stage manager.
Cool.
I do want to tell one funny story.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Obviously, we were buds in Chicago, but Jen moved back to LA from Chicago before I left and came back to New York. You had to have been gone maybe like 6 months, and you were like, come out and visit. You'll stay here. You'll stay at my mom's, and we'll do right. stuff. I'll show you the West Coast. So we went out there. We went to Disney. I don't think that was when we went to Vegas, but...
I think Vegas was slightly later, but yeah. That's another story.
Jen also shares our birthday week, Richie, by the way. She's the 3rd
oh, wow.
of February. I'm the 5th and you're the 7th.
What are Aquariuses? That's why we get along so well.
But so the last day I was there, my flight was at like noon, I think. So your mom was kind enough to get me a car to the airport.
Right.
But neither you or her were home because you had to work and your mom was had pottery class or something. And
right.
You were just like, no, it's fine. The cleaning lady's going to be here. Just take your stuff. She'll lock you out. You know, it's totally fine. So I was like, okay. So I get up, I pack my stuff.
Oh, no.
And we go out, then the car shows up and I go outside to tell the guy like 2 seconds. I just got to throw something in my bag and then I'll be right out. So I walk outside with no shoes on because it was a very nice paved driveway. Walk outside with no shoes on and the cleaning lady follows me out. And the door shuts behind us. So, she's like, I don't have a key. And I was like, hey, I'm gonna miss my flight. My luggage is inside. Like, I was calling you. Like, I didn't have your mom's number. I didn't know what to do. So we walk around to the back of the property, and this is a ranch style house. To give you an idea of the size, it was 3 houses away from the Olsen twins. I think your mom's
yes,
house.
At some point, one of their houses, yeah.
So we walk around to the complete back side of the property where your pool and stuff was, and I'm trying to see if the back door's open, nothing's open. I finally, I'm just like, I have to break a window. I'm going to break a window and pay her mom for the window. Like, I have to get back inside.
I so remember this.
And I'm doing it, and you had, at the time, I think the windows were, they were wooden panes, so I was able to, push my arm and force my way in. I cut the crap out of my arm, but I was able to yes. push my arm in and reach the lock and open the lock for the door and get back inside. So we get back inside. I get my luggage.
You just told everybody how to break into this woman's house.
No, way she doesn't
to
go. Live there
I
anymore.
Know. Well, my mom doesn't live there anymore, so break into the house if you ever figure out which one it is. just kidding.
But the best part of it is that I get in the house, I get my stuff, the cleaning lady's like, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And I was like, okay, thank you very much. And then she just turns to me, she goes, please don't tell Miss Candy what I did. And then immediately when I got in the car, I proceeded to call Jen and tell her what she did.
I know, thank you, told me. I honestly can't remember if I told my mom the story, but I'm going to tell her now. Oh, it's
really and that cleaning funny. Lady had to go back to Portugal.
Oh, God.
Aww. Yeah.
And that ties the whole thing together, doesn't it?
Oh, gosh, that's hysterical.
But yeah, I think that's good. I think we learned a lot today.
You did learn a lot.
Do you have a personal Twitter?
Yeah, at Dulces Girl.
What?
So in Spanish in high school, my Spanish teacher used to call me Jennifer Dulces, which is sweet in Spanish. So a D-U-L-C-E-S-G-I-R-L, Dulces Girl.
So
like Dulce de Leche, like that kind of stuff?
That's exactly, it's Dulce, yeah. But she used to pronounce it Dulces. And so I always pronounced it really wrong because I'm Canadian and living in Los Angeles. And so my accent was really weird.
So follow Dulces Girly.
Yeah, eh?
So it's D-U-L-C-E-S-G-I-R-L at Twitter. Or on the Twitter. And
on the Twitter.
And it sounds like you're a busy lady and you got a lot of stuff going on. So, and hopefully the Band Geek listeners will be able to find out when your new show is going to be broadcast video. And if you're in the LA area, please go check out the show live. It sounds awesome. And I'm sure the shows are probably hilarious.
They're a lot of fun so far, unless my friends and family are lying to me. They seem to be laughing and enjoying, so.
So I'd like to thank our very special guest, Jennifer Candy.
Woo! Yay! Woo! Our first 100% successful Skype.
Well, it's not over yet.
Oh. It's because we use FaceTime. We didn't use Skype.
That's right. So, okay, this is a music show, and I love... actually, it's sort of like a comedy music show. We're on a comedy network. Riotcast is a comedy network, so this was right in there. But we would like to bring it back to the music. So, I understand you have a special request for us for the band Geeks of the Form.
I do. Okay, a little backstory on this song. Now, Jarrett, this was his go-to karaoke song, and Second City. I know.
Finally, it's happened to me.
He can hit those high notes really high. So.
It was the first holiday party
at Second City Chicago, our first Christmas party, and they had live band karaoke, which I thought was the coolest thing ever. So he gets up there and he performs "Come Sail Away." And
I feel like this is a made up story that he called you ahead of time and said, right? because he fucking does this to me. He goes, I want to play this song and I want to do it. And he goes, oh, some guy made it up on Facebook and he looks on his iPad. I'm like, what's the guy's name? Mike iPad. So you're telling me he did not coach you to request this?
No, he did not. But I will say because he did preface that, hey, we're gonna want to ask you what song like you're gonna request, and he didn't say anything else. So I responded back. I said, well, the only song I know is the one that you sang at the Second City Christmas party, and he was like, that's the exact same one I was thinking. So the fact that we're Aquarius and our birthdays are so close together, we share the same brain. So I'm not surprised that that was the song.
I told you, dude. She's Canadian. She's kooky. I can't. You're gonna sing "Come Sail Away" and then come to the Maritimes, eh?
I look.
Oh
I love Styx. This whole thing's just fishy to me, Jared. This is very fucking fishy.
We're not actually friends.
We are sailing, hey. Richard.
You did karaoke when you came to visit. Did we ever take you to Boardwalk 11? Did you ever do karaoke
in LA?
Yeah.
I used to do it in Chicago with your brother-in-law.
Right. Well, I remember that because that's you and Gowdy used to rock that karaoke. I did so much karaoke in Chicago. And the Blue Frog, was it the Blue Frog where you play the board games?
Yes. And to be fair, Styx is a Chicago band.
It is good. All right.
This is where we're tying it all together. That is my favorite song, because when I listen to it, I think of the Muffin Man.
Yeah. I'm glad I went to music college to be your fucking karaoke track for you, Jack. All right. So
you've been my karaoke track since we're 10.
I have been. God. All right. Anyway, we will honor your request, and we'll do it the best we can. And we thank you so much for being on our show, and good luck with your show. And thank you, Jennifer.
Thanks so much, guys.
Okay, we are going to disconnect with you and figure out how to play this song and not have us like crap. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye guys.
Bye.
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 Bye. And I have to figure out how to end it. End call.
And now she's stuck.
Okay, so Andy, if a pianist wants to play Come Sail Away.
A pianist.
A pianist.
A pianist.
A 12-inch pianist.
Playing in C.
Okay.
An ADHD pianist.
So that means there's
pianist.
No black keys.
Okay.
So it's easier to play, supposedly. I don't know.
Because except it's an incredibly racist song.
If you're a bad
song.
Piano player like myself, it's go. Very easy to play. Okay, for Andy, this is hell.
C. And the part, the line, the melody is E, D, C. And then go back to that E. And then go up to the F. D, C. And then up to the G. And then back down. And then you do a little...
Mr. Belvedere.
Breaks on the channel. Never met him before.
It's totally Mr. Belvedere.
And then with the left hand, you play something classical sounding.
An Alberti bass line.
I don't actually know what it is.
Yeah, so he's actually playing a fat Alberti bass line.
Just arpeggiating it, I guess.
That's a good bass line.
That's more Louis Armstrong.
It is. That's a solid bass line.
ACT is a purple.
And that's what I'm doing. What?
Sky's a red. So guy just walked past me with a foot growing out of his head.
Louis Armstrong on Answer. Thank you.
What's that from?
Nothing.
Was that original?
Nothing.
Is there a bell we could... No, it wasn't original.
Is there a bell?
Is there a bell? What?
I have a bell.
It was from Cheers?
No. I said, sure it is.
It's original?
Yes.
Really?
Richie doesn't think I ever have an original thought
that,
in my body.
You're doing that face like you're saying one thing, but you mean something else. All right, I'm sorry. Oh, continue.
Fancy say something.
Oh, that was about it. I was thinking maybe you could show the fancy guitar part.
Well, I don't know what yet. I'm going to learn it after this. Okay. So it's but then he goes, on board, I'm a captain. What's that?
A minor.
Yes. Well, you didn't even teach the verse. What's the verse? C.
Oh,
yeah.
C?
Yeah. I'm sailing.
G with the B and the bass.
Why are you doing it Shatnery?
Spa.
Away. I'm sure I do it. Adam West. Set an open course, Robin.
G.
G. G.
To the Virgin C.
G.
C.
To the Virgin G.
G with B and the bass.
G. A minor. Whose version?
Oh.
A minor. F.
G.
G.
Then A minor.
A minor.
G.
Yeah, G.
Keep. You were helping me with
A minor.
A minor. Let's search
for the final.
G.
Under every shoe.
C. Are you Luther Vandross now?
I'm Aaron Neville.
Aaron Neville, that's who I was thinking of.
Oh, the Bee Gees.
Under the Bee Gees.
A minor. F. G.
Yeah. Then it goes to the... Okay.
That's just a monkey.
I think this is like... The Meatleys you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
In the chorus. The Meatleys, they're harmonized. Doing this from memory. I think it's like the Yngwie thing.
And if not, before there's going to be a punch in here. Yeah.
So what you're doing is you're playing a C arpeggio, which is a G, E, C. And that's on E string, 15th fret, 12th fret, and then 13th fret on the B string. 16th notes. Little palm mute. I'm going, here's how the picking goes in that. Up, pull off, down, down. That's like a little sweep pick. And then you turn it to an F.
Sweeps it properly.
With A, F, F, and then up two frets. I'm not sure, is the harmony higher or lower? I think it's higher, right? If the harmony's higher, it's crap. Jesus
see
Christ!
The faces yeah, he's making
yeah,
it's, right now.
I gotta contort
he's
my
pained.
Body. But yeah, it's just it's inverted. So it's C, G, E.
Now slowly.
And then you move your it's C A, F, then D B G. When you know you mash your fingers way up on the tiny strings, you go really, 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 really.
Exactly.
Now you play it slow.
Now we play it slow. Here's slowly. It's very
your
slow.
Face is great.
And now even slowly.
That's the best video.
For anybody who's ever watched a guitar instructional video.
The Yngwie the, one, they had to turn him down to half speed, so it sounded like this. And then he laughed at the end of one of them, and he sounded like this.
I know that laugh.
Yeah, I know that. We're never going to get to play this song.
And then the puppet show curtain opens.
Oh, Amory, play the bass part in the chorus. Okay, good. So, then there's a little bridge. Then there's a bridge. It goes to the A flat key.
Magic. And then I make bird sounds.
Okay, let's play this fucker.
It's also disco sounds.
Yes. Alright, if I get around to making the video for this, you gotta look at Andy. Andy's ridiculous in this video. It's gonna be really funny.
If you get around. The camera just on him.
Yeah, well, I do. The GoPro's pretty much just on him, because every time he stands up, he blocks everybody.
No, it's... What happened to the camera in this corner?
It's in this corner, because I wanted to see Muff singing.
But now you're gonna miss Andy.
No, the GoPro's getting him.
His butt.
No, he's got... Look, this is the... Look how nice that looks.
Why are we arguing?
I don't know. It looked so much nicer before.
It's nice. Shut up. Here we go. It's great. Be quiet. All right.
Muff can actually tape it with his phone.
Would you like to tape it with your phone, Muff? No, we got it. We're covered.
We're good.
All right. Here we go.
Here we go. Like, we're going to play it?
Yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to actually record
it.
We're going to start a new track. So Richie has
watch
a
out for
punch.
Your squiggly cable.
Yeah, I'll be fine. Right, here we go.
I don't know about that.
I'll be fine.
I don't know about that.
I'm fine. Let's go.
I don't know about that. Slow down a bit.
What?
Slow down a little bit.
Bring it from a Mr. Belvedere to a Styx. Dude. Freak Tom China. I've never been there before. Who cares? There we go.
Ooh. Do, 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 do.
That's good.
Just trill until he comes in. Keep drilling.
He said with emotion.
This just turned into a Victor Borges sketch. Something like
con pesos.
I'm waiting for him to keep trilling. Just. Okay, ready? Let's start again.
Bah!
Oh, I thought we were starting for real.
I start from the top.
And then it hits the cutting room floor.
Do that again. Just stay in time, dick.
Con moto.
Con moto.
Allegro conspirato.
Conspirato. Conspirator. Allegro conspirator.
All right.
All right, ready?
Yes. Fiend.
Your fault now.
This has to make it all in the video. You know this, right? Guys, this for you.
I'm sailing away, set an open course for the virgin seas, 'cause I've got to be free. Free to...
I'm sorry.
Full start. Sorry, guys.
Falstaff. Ease it in gently.
I'm telling your mother you said that.
She's well, this is all going to be on She's video. Anyway. This is going to be a 25-minute video.
I'm sailing away, set an open course for the virgin sea.
All right, hold on.
Do you want? I was gonna keep going.
I don't know what I'm playing with this hand.
It's like Idle Hands.
Is that the
it's
hand like of that, a murderer?
It's the movie Idle Hands.
Is that the hand of a murderer? The left.
That's
hand
like my dad typing. Are you okay?
You warmed up now, there, Deliberace?
Deliberace?
Set an open course for the virgin sea, 'cause I've got to be free, free to face the life that's ahead of me. On board I'm the captain, so climb aboard. We'll search for tomorrow on every shore, and I'll try, oh Lord, I'll try to carry on. Think of childhood friends and the dreams we had. We lived happily forever, so that story goes. But somehow we missed out on that pot of gold. But we'll try. Again.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for listening to The Band Geek. The Band Geek. Bye.